Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians is always a good place to start, good place to end, a good place to go anytime. Last week we looked at the fear of God, meaning to have great reverence or to be in awe of God. And along with this, if we are to walk with our God and live a godly life, we need to have that fear of God. And when we studied it, we noticed or we saw that it was connected to a couple of things. One was trusting Him. And, you know, we look mostly in the Old Testament. The word trust in the Old Testament means to believe. And then it also had to do with humility. Okay, so that's what we're going to look at today, having humility, because it's vital that you are humble before God. And so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Beseech means to lovingly implore, to really, you know, a heartfelt request. And that's what Paul is making by way of revelation. You know, God told him to write this down. He said, "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." And that vocation is as children of God, right? And members of the body of Christ. And it says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." And the word lowliness is humility. I could tell you the Greek word, it won't probably mean a whole lot, and it's hard to pronounce. Tapianos nophrosune. There you go. It's basically got most of the alphabet in it. And it means lowliness of mind, humility, or modesty of mind. So when we walk that walk worthy of the vocation of being children of God, sons and daughters of God, being members of the body of Christ, we have to walk with humility. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17 is where we're going to start. And this is where Paul is coming back from one of his missionary trips, and he's headed back towards, I'm not sure, Antioch maybe. Anyway, verse 17, it says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." He didn't want to go to Ephesus, but he stopped on the coast and he went into this place, Miletus, and he sent for the elders, the people, the believers of Ephesus, to come and see him. And they had a quick meeting. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying of weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." And so here he says, you know, I taught you and I served the Lord with all humility. And if you're going to serve God, you have to have that humility. You have to have that lowliness or modesty of mind, meaning you don't think you know more than God does. Now, anybody that thinks that would be kind of foolish, wouldn't they? But sometimes we get into that mode. We think we just know, and we don't necessarily ask God. And when you're serving God, sometimes you have to ask, because as we've read records in the Word of God, sometimes God's answer to something is not the obvious or the sense knowledge thing to do. So we have to look to God and ask Him for answers. To serve God and to walk with God, modesty or humility of mind is so very, very important. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 1. I'll wait for you all to get there. Philippians chapter 2. It's right after Ephesians. It's right after the next book after Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy or mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. So we have two words here, vainglory and lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind is humility. Vainglory is basically the opposite. Vainglory means conceit. And it comes from, you know, the root word of vain means empty. But it's conceit, you know, you think you know better. And it says in verse 3, we're to avoid strife. Let there be no strife or vainglory, but lowliness of mind, let us esteem each other better than themselves. Meaning, you know, we have respect for each other. It's not always about me, 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 me. It's you know, that selflessness that Jesus Christ displayed. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of humility before God, right? He always asked God. He always did God's will. He always spoke the words that God told him. And he always put God first. And because of that, he put others first many times. That's what he did. Let's go to Colossians, which is the next book over. So a page or two over to Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to begin in verse 18. And this kind of shows us what humility is and what it is not. In verse 18, it says, let no man beguile you. And the word beguile means seduce. You know, if somebody tells you an out-and-out lie or presents something totally evil, it's easy to resist. But that's not the way the devil works most of the time. Remember in the garden, how did he get Eve? He seduced her. He started out by introducing a question, and he got her to question the word of God, and then he changed the word, and then he got her to the lie itself, right? So it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. That's a strange thing. I'm going to read the working translation. It says, let no one rob you of your prize by self-prescribed humility and religion or worship of spirit messengers. So that voluntary humility really means, you know, it's a false humility. You know, like sometimes people will say things like, well, I'm just not good enough. Yeah. Well, great. That's not what God says, is it, about us? He says we are good enough. I'm such a terrible sinner. Well, we're all sinners. You know, that's not the question. You know, God sent his son to redeem us from sin and forgive us for all our sins. You know, false humility is just, it's a trick. It's a religious trick. Humility is listening to God, having that awe and respect for God, and then doing what he wants you to do. So it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And that's where it takes you. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. You know, instead, we are to hold Jesus Christ as the head of the body. And we are to look to him. I think in one of the manifestations, it said, look up, right? And I know we talked, Stella was talking to somebody the other day. And, you know, they're talking about their problems and they need to look back in their past to figure out what's wrong with them and all this stuff. That's foolish. You know, we look ahead and we look up, right? We don't look at the problem. We don't look at the sickness. We look at God. God's the answer for everything. Jesus Christ paid the price. There's an old song. Remember there was a song was on, maybe some of you remember, When Jesus Walked. He wiped all the tears away. Yeah. I think it was the Staple Singers. I'm not sure. But you know what? When he died and rose again, that's when he really wiped all the tears away because he conquered death. You know, we look to him and his accomplishments and we look to our Father God. We don't look at the circumstances. We don't look at the situation. We don't look at the sickness. We don't look at the threats. We look to him. Wherefore, verse 20, if ye be dead with Christ in the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. You know, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about washings and cleansings and, you know, sin-free. You know, we don't focus on sin. We focus on the Savior from sin, right? Because we're all going to sin. We're all going to make mistakes, but, you know, we're to walk beyond that. We're to have that humility, that lowliness of mind, that modesty to know I can't do anything about sin, but I can look to the Savior of sin. I can walk knowing that I'm righteous before God. That's true humility. Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You know, in the Middle Ages, one of the big things, and still today sometimes, you know, people think humility is suffering for God. There was a guy one time back in the Middle Ages, and somehow they erected a pole. He was called a pole sitter. And he sat on this 30-foot pole with a little platform on it, and that's where he lived. And I don't know how he went to the bathroom or they sent food up to him. But he thought sitting up there, he would be closer to God. And, it's stupid. Or people go into places like there's monasteries of silence where nobody's allowed to talk. I remember I actually went to a place, I forget what I was doing. I was working. And I had to go to this place, and it was like a place where nuns lived, but they weren't allowed to speak.
Cloister.
A cloister, yeah. I had to deliver something there, and the person at desk, you know, they talked to me, but they said this is a cloister of silence. Imagine living that way, you know. It's crazy. Anyway, let's go to Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, and, you know, throughout Exodus, you see that a lot. The Lord said to Moses, because God talked to Moses, and he said, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show thee my signs before him. Okay, when it says that God hardened his heart, that's a figure of speech. Because God in his foreknowledge knew that when Moses presented what God would tell him, And Moses would present that it was a message from Jehovah, God, that Pharaoh would reject it. And to reject God's word or God's commandments is to harden your heart. That's really what it amounts to in the simplest form. So God speaks to Moses, says, Pharaoh's heart will be hardened, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, and that ye may know how I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. So here they are presenting their God before Pharaoh. Now Pharaoh had lots of gods, right?
Right.
So and the attitude in those days was, if you're in subjection to us, that means that your God is greater than our God is greater than your God. That's, you know, kind of simple logic. So, thus saith the Lord of the Hebrew, Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into thy coasts. You know, and this was repeated a bunch of times, and each time God would prescribe what Pharaoh was to do, and if he didn't, what the, you know, punishment would be, or the penalty or the payment he'd have to make, and it was the plagues of Egypt. So, you know, once it was the locusts, once it was the frogs, once it was the hail that turned to fire, darkness upon the earth, and then finally what? The death of the oldest of every family, male, and of every animal family, you know, and that's the way it was. So, but throughout it all, Pharaoh hardened his heart. He refused to accept that Jehovah, God, was the God, and that he was not going to let his people go until finally he didn't have a choice. And then they threw the Jews out. They said, get out of here now, and they paid him to leave. All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And we're going to go to chapter 7. So, obviously, to have your heart hardened is what? The opposite of humility. Yeah. When your heart is hardened, when you don't listen to God, that means you have a hardened heart. Chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, which was the temple, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among thy people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto their prayer that is made in this place. And you know, humility means that we look to God in every situation. We know that God has the answer, that we don't. And then so many times that always is true, right?
Right.
It's just God always has the answer, and not our pea brains. We're just not smart enough to figure out the problems of the world. You know, if you look back in history, man's solutions to man's problems haven't changed in thousands and thousands of years. I took a class once on the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire basically did the same stuff that our government tries to do today. You know, they ended up being a total welfare system. and the people got lazy and they decided they didn't need to work, and you know, eventually it deteriorated and fell apart. You know, just that's man's solutions are foolish and vain and stupid. God's, on the other hand, are great. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Right in the middle of the Bible, right after Psalms, we have Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 12. It says, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." So man's heart will tend to destruction, but if he becomes humble, then he will have honor. Let's go to Proverbs 22. This is the greatest verse. Chapter 22, verse 4. "By humility and the fear of the Lord," remember the fear of the Lord, "are riches and honor and life." Wow, that's great. When you have humility and fear God, have that great respect for God, you have riches and honor and life, which means, you know, life to the fullest. What a great thing. let's go to 15, Proverbs 15. Well, let's do 23 first. 15. Then we'll go to Proverbs 29. 15:33. I think we saw this last week when we studied fear of the Lord, but it's worth reading again. It says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Humility and fear of God are, you know, closely aligned. They're part of each other. Let's go to Proverbs 29. And verse 23. Verse 23, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." You know, and who brings us honor, really? God does. It doesn't matter if men honor us or not. I mean, it's okay, it's nice, but what really counts is that God honors us. And he honors us when we're humble before him. let's go to Psalm 10. Go backwards a little bit. It says in verse 17, "Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear." You know, when we're humble before God and we go to him with all our petitions, all our needs, he's listening. He wants to hear us. He wants to be the one to help us. he gives us the answers that we really need. I read a cool something somewhere. You don't need to know all the answers. You need to know where to find the answers, right? Well, where do we find the answers? In God's Word. That's humility, right? We go to God's Word. We go to God. That's how we get answers to life. That's how we navigate through life. Let's go to Micah, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, blah, 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 something. Micah.
Obadiah, Jonah, Micah.
Yeah. This is a great little book, Micah. And the whole, the context here of this verse is that Israel is having problems, and God says, you know, what's your problem? Why are you complaining? Why are you saying that I caused your problems? And then he goes on, and in verse 7, he says, chapter 6. You know, he said, why are you contending with me? Why are you blaming me for all your troubles? And then he goes, in verse 7, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? You know, this is all the religious stuff they would do, right? The sacrifices and, you know, things like that. You know, the repetitious prayers or, you know, whatever you do. But God says, that's not what I'm really looking for. Verse 8. And, you know, nobody was more religious than Israel back in the Old Testament. I mean, it was just wrought with ceremony and ritual and tradition and all that stuff. He says, you know, okay, well, forget about all that stuff. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Wow, what a great formula for living life, right? Just to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. It's pretty simple. That's what God really wanted from those people. And, you know, basically that's what he wants for us. He wants us to just walk humbly with him. As we saw right from the very beginning, right? You know, we could go to Luke, but we won't. But what did it say in Luke? It said that that Mary was the handmaid of the Lord, and she was a woman of low estate, which means she was a woman of great humility. You know, that's why God could do for her, and that she could bear the Son of God, was because she was humble before God. You know, when he told her what was going to happen, she says, be it according to thy word. It's pretty humble, you know, because what he was telling her was not going to be an easy thing, because then she would be accused of being pregnant out of wedlock, which in those days, today it's pretty common. But back in those days, you know, it was a stigma on your life forever. So let's go to Peter. And we'll close in Peter, chapter 5. First Peter. Passed it twice. Okay. Chapter 5 of First Peter, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. Put humility on. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So, you know, we saw riches, honor, and life. And here it says that God giveth grace. His grace abounds to the humble. Then it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. What a great thing. That's a great promise, isn't it? God promises that he will exalt us in due time as we are humble to him. So humility is a really great and a very important thing concerning our walk with him. We have to be humble. We have to have that fear of God in our life, that great awe and respect for God, and we have to walk humbly with him. We have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to hear the word of God and do what God wants us to do, not what we want to do. So, Father God, we thank you for this day, for loving us, for blessing us, for keeping us safe, for what a great and loving God you are. We thank you for just the joy it is to be your children, and that we can have opportunities to stand for you, that we can speak your word, that we can help people, and we can glorify you in everything we do every day. We just thank you for your grace and your mercy abounding in our lives, and that we can truly be humble before you, that we can learn more and more to be humble, that we can desire to be humble, and that we can just love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.